オーム ナモ バガヴァテ ヴァスデヴァーヤ。Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottama Devim Sarasvatim Vyasa Tato Jaya Mudiraye。ハレークリシュナハレークリシュナ
ハレークリシュナハレークリシュナ
クリシュナクリシュナハレーハレ
ークリシュナクリシュナハレ
ーハレーハレーラーマハレーラーマ
ハレーラーマハレーラーマ
ラーマラーマハレーハレー
ラーマラーマハレーハレ
to speak on the topic of how the chanting of Hare Krishna can help us and solve our real problems in life. And the obvious choice for the verse speaking on this topic is the 27th verse of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Most Confidential Knowledge.So we will read the verse and purport and then talk a little bit about this interesting topic. Ananyaha Chintayantaha Mam Ye Janaha Pariyupasate Tesham Nitya Adiyuktana Yoga Shemam Vahami Aham Ananyas Chintayantomam Yajanah Pariyupasate Tesham Nitya Viyuktana Yogakshema Vahamyaham Ananyas Chintayantoma Yajanah Pariyupasate Tesham Nitya Viyuktana Yogakshema Vahamyaham Ananyas Chintayantoma Yajanah Pariyupasate Tesham Nitya Viyuktana Yogakshema Vahamyaham Ananyaha
Having no other object
Chintayantaha
Concentrating
Maam
On me
Ye
Those who
Janaha
Persons
Pariyupasate
Properly worship
Tesham
Of them
Nitya
Always
Adiyuktanam
Fixed in devotion
Yoga
Requirements
Shemam
Protection
Vahami
Caring Aham.
Aham.
I.
Translation. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is unable to live for a moment without Krishna consciousness cannot but think of Krishna 24 hours a day, being engaged in devotional service by hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping, service the lotus feet of the Lord, rendering other services, cultivating friendship, and surrendering fully to the Lord. Such activities are all auspicious and full of spiritual potencies, which make the devotee perfect in self-realization, so that his only desire is to achieve the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee undoubtedly approaches the Lord without difficulty. This is called yoga. By the mercy of the Lord, such a devotee never comes back to this material condition of life. Kshema refers to merciful protection of the Lord. The Lord helps the devotee to achieve Krishna consciousness by yoga, and then he becomes fully Krishna conscious, and when he becomes fully Krishna conscious, the Lord protects him from falling down to a miserable condition of life. Ananya chintayantamam yajanah pariyupasate tesam mitya biyuktanam yoga kshema vahanyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Pinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Vanchakalpatarudesha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanumandita Bhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro Yuntah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevayata Kila Shakti Dharak Svadhamna Anyam shahasta charana shravanat vagadim pranannamo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. So we will talk a little bit about the practical aspects of Krishna consciousness. And here in this particular verse, which is fairly famous and many people like to chant it, the Lord Himself promises that I will protect my devotee and I will give him all he needs. And we should not take this promise lightly. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He establishes in Bhagavad Gita his position as the Supreme Lord. And Arjuna, who is the original listener of Bhagavad Gita, accepts him as such. And moreover, Arjuna
for our sake makes the practical experiment, and Krishna shows that he is the Supreme Lord, that he is the whole universe. Arjuna sees the whole universe in him, in one place. And before, in this particular chapter, which is called The Most Confidential Knowledge, or Raja Vidya Raja Guhya, Krishna also says, everything depends on me. This is a simple point which is very difficult for us to understand. And he promises that he will take care of us if we serve him with one-pointed devotion. We have to believe him, because he is the Lord himself. In many places he says the same thing. He says I am equal to everyone. I am equally looking in different living entities. I am non-envious. I am not partial. But if somebody worships me with devotion, he is in my heart and I am in his heart. Even before that, in the fourth chapter, he says that Yayathamam prapadyante tapstathame bhajanyaha. How somebody approaches me, I will reciprocate. In one sense, God is a big mirror. He reciprocates. If we hate, he will not hate us, but he will find a ways to reciprocate. He will more or less give us under the command of material nature. But if we love him, he says, I will also carry. Basically, we all need reciprocation. We're all living entities. And the main point to understand, the first point to understand, is that the Lord is also living entity. Actually, this is the most important point. Before we understand anything else, we have to understand this. We are conscious living entity. The Lord is also conscious living entity. Basically, we are chanting to realize this fact. The beginning of spiritual understanding starts with this point. I have to understand that God is conscious, that he is not just some kind of concept. He is conscious. It means that we may have reciprocation with him. That's very important, and that's the first step of realization. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that when this famous Upanishadic statement, which Shankaracharya claims to be the Mahavakya, or the essence of Upanishad, Tattvamasi. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Tattvamasi is just the beginning understanding, the beginning stage of our understanding that God is conscious and we are conscious, that we have the same nature as him. We know that we are conscious, and conscious means soul. Of course, we are living in this day and age of computers, and sometimes people think that, you know, after some time, when the computer become really big, they may become living beings. They will develop some kind of consciousness. No, this is a mistake. And there are some scientists who are trying to prove it. So this is the first point which we have to really clearly understand, that there is a distinction between God, us, and matter. God is living being, I am living being. So when I chant his holy name, you know, I'm reciprocating with a living being. There is an interesting, perhaps, I don't know, if somebody of you is into artificial intelligence. Somebody is working in computers. There is a famous scientist. His name is John Searle. And he was trying to explain this simple point that computer will never be conscious. Sometimes, as I said, scientists think that, you know, at one point computer will develop some understanding. He says computer is just a machine. It's just a very mechanical thing. It will never become conscious. But still, because of our mechanical worldview, we're trying or hoping against hope that we will create life in this way. So he gave a very interesting experiment which we can all understand and relate to. This is called Chinese room experiment. He says that there is difference between a conscious and unconscious being, because conscious being have one simple thing they can understand. Computers cannot understand. The understanding is some qualitatively different thing in comparison with what computer is doing. Computer is mechanically just manipulating with some things according to the program which is there, and there is no understanding. The living being have understanding. Please listen carefully, because it is very important for us, first of all, to understand this point. He says, maybe at some point computer will be able to understand some text. Like now you are sitting and you are trying to understand what I mean to say to you. What is the message, what it is. And not without success. Something is coming in. The understanding is happening. But this John Searle, who is a very big authority in artificial intelligence, he says computer will never have this understanding, because it's something mysterious. It's something which is clearly related to a qualitatively different entity, which is called spirit soul. So he said, you know, maybe at one point computer will be able to understand what is going on. You know, they may be able to understand the language sometimes, which is very difficult. But let's say that there is a big computer who really understands what we say and reacts accordingly. When we speak with each other, or when we reciprocate with each other, I tell you something, you immediately understand, because your spirit soul, you have consciousness, and then you react accordingly. Some scientists say, you know, at one point computer will be able to do the same. I will tell something to computer, computer will just... he will go, he will be a robot, you know. And he will be better than us. So John Searle said, let's imagine that somebody is speaking with you in Chinese language. Somebody of you knows Chinese? Nobody knows Chinese. So let's say somebody is speaking with you in Chinese. So what is going on? Computer will be able to understand this text. How he understands, he just recognizes certain patterns and making some relationship between these patterns and trying to, and of course he's not trying to figure out, he's just mechanically doing this. So in a similar way, the human being can be taught to emulate the same kind of process. Somebody is talking to you in Chinese and you listen, and you're kind of trying to figure out, and then you react. Without any understanding. But it doesn't mean that you understood what was said. You just somehow or other compare different sounds. So this kind of imaginary experiment which John Searle is talking about, which is called Chinese room experiment, is meant for us to understand that immediately we are different. When I talk to you, you understand, that means your spirit soul. And when we chant the holy name, God is also spirit soul. I mean, not a spirit soul, it's a big spirit soul. He is the super soul. He also understands this. That's the point which Krishna is trying to explain to us in Bhagavad Gita. And as I already said, this is the beginning point of spiritual understanding. The beginning point of spiritual understanding is symbolized by this Upanishadic statement, Tat Tvam Asi. You are that. You are that means you are similar to that. You are similar to God. We are conscious. We are conscious living being. We have emotions. We can reciprocate. We can hear somebody. If somebody begs us something, we will reciprocate. We naturally have some compassion or whatever. God is the same. The only difference is that he is much better than us. He has much better capacity or propensity to reciprocate with us. Like, we all have this experience. If somebody comes to you and somebody says to you something in a very pitiful voice or explains to you something, and you feel some sympathy to him, you immediately, your heart goes and you want to help him. Like yesterday, I was there in Kalur and we were speaking with some sadhu. He's a poor guy. I mean, very, very funny guy, very nice person. And when I spoke with him, he's an honest person. He's not, his understanding is a little strange, but it doesn't matter. What I mean to say is that I spoke with him, my heart went to him. Because he's nice. He's a nice person, he's a straightforward person, I can see he's a nice person. And he's a poor fellow, he says, I have nothing, you know, I'm coming from temple to temple, getting some free food, you know, this, I'm sadhu. So, but immediately, my desire was there to help him. So, the first point which we have to understand is that when we approach God, and when we trust God, and when we speak with God by calling His holy name, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya Gita, He hears us. And He immediately reciprocates with us. Because He is also conscious. He is consciousness, we are consciousness. And therefore, here he says, Ananyas Chintayantamam Yajanah Pariyupasate. If somebody has concentrated his mind on me and has me as the only shelter, how will I behave? If somebody comes to you, like this is a very common experience. If we have a little child and the child comes to us and we know we are his only protection. And he comes to us and he says, Daddy, 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 Daddy. What we will do? We will do everything within our power to protect this little child. We will forget everything about everything else. We will help this little child because he's crying, ah, la, 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 la. If Dhruva comes to you, you know, you have to help him because he's little and he's asking you for protection. So, the same way, when we started crying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna hears this. And his heart goes, for sure, his heart goes towards us. Because, first of all, this is the fundamental characteristic of God. As I said, He's conscious. And moreover, His consciousness is everywhere. His consciousness is all-pervading. He's called Vishnu. Vishnu means who is everywhere. Vishnu means from the root, from the verbal root, Vishate. Vish means to enter. He is the one who entered everywhere. His consciousness is everywhere. He doesn't need, to have a, you know, we don't have to cry very loudly for him to hear. He says, everywhere my ears. In the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, what is it? Shruti Mallokya, Sarvatra, Shishiram, what is this? Anyway, he says, everywhere my mouth is, everywhere my ears, everywhere my hands, everywhere my legs, Sarvatra Panipadam Tat, Sarvatra, Shruti Mallokya, Sarvatra, whatever. He says, I'm everywhere. You don't have to really, you know, go far away. Just call me. And when we know when we call somebody, or when somebody calls us, let's say somebody calls your name. What's your name?
Aravinda.
Somebody calls Aravinda. You know, immediately, you're already smiling because the reciprocation is there. Immediately when the name is there, the person knows that's about me and he tries to reciprocate. So the theory behind the chanting of the holy name is exactly the same. We have to understand that the Lord is the person and we have to relate with him in a very personal way. And there are some problems with this. Krishna says, if somebody is completely devoted to me and pariupasate, specifically Srila Prabhupada translates this word, pariupasate, in this verse, who properly worships me. Properly worships me means respects me in a proper way. Because I can call Aravinda, and I can call Aravinda in many different ways. You can go, hey Aravinda. And Aravinda will not be so pleased if I do it in a very rough way. Or I can just, you know, very mechanically say, Aravinda, Aravinda, blah, 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 blah. He will not care either. because he's a person. But if I smile and if I say, Aravinda, please help me. He will help. because this is the nature of consciousness. So again, if we really established in this simple point that everything is conscious and God is conscious as well, He is not an exception from the rule. Because some people want to reduce Him. It's easier to deal with mechanical things. You know, one of our problems, especially in this day and age, is that we want mechanical dealings. It's easier to deal with machines. Machines are not offended. You can kick the autorickshaw. Autorickshaw will not say to you, from now on I will not drive you anymore. You know, you may kick him as much as you like. Machine will still do the business. And this day and age which we live in is called Kali Yuga, and another name of this day and age is Yantra Yuga. Yantra Yuga means machine yuga, the time of machine. You know, so many machines are there, and people have become like machines. We have become very mechanical in our dealings, especially in the West. In India, there are still some human nature under some covering is still there. If you dig a little bit, you will find some human being underneath. But in the West, all the dealings become very mechanical. You know, I know that people become so impersonal. They may live next door to each other. They don't know what is the name of the, you know, the closest neighbor. They don't care. Because of this mechanical kind of approach to life. Because, again, as I said, it's easier to deal with machines, and people are trying to solve all the problems. And by the way of trying to solve all the problems, they become machines, machine-like themselves. And this machine-like approach to life has a very big problem in itself. Because when we deal with other people as machines, it doesn't work. And the same way, sometimes people try to deal with God as the wish-fulfilling machine. They think God is some kind of big, big, big computer, you know, and if I, you know, really program him nicely, if I get my software inside properly, I will get what I need. But here Krishna says, Pariyupasate. Pariyupasate means, you know, ananyas chintayantamam yechanak pariyupasate. Those people who really give their heart to me. There is a very simple secret in dealing with people. If we want to get reciprocation from other people, we have to give our heart to them. You know, and if we give our heart to them, they're ready to give their hearts to us. People, you know, if we're nice to people, they become nice to us. Some people, you know, some people, they always complain, these people are nasty, and everyone is nasty, and this people is nasty, you know, and this person is nasty, and he is nasty. You know, my answer always to this, you are nasty. And because you are nasty, everyone is nasty. Because everyone is just reciprocating. This principle of reciprocation, this law of reciprocation, is very fundamental law upon which this world is based. So, the world is just a mirror, more or less. If we relate to it nicely, if we relate to other people nicely, other people will also relate to us nicely, and we will live happily. And this point is very important to understand in our dealings with God. He is a person. And if we deal with Him personally, He will also become personal. But if we deal with Him in a very impersonal way, we will never feel reciprocation from Him, and we will say, God is not there. Now, so many people are completely convinced that God is not there. God is there. Why God is dead? Because they are dead. Because they are dead themselves. They are already dead while living. And because they don't have this personal feeling, they will never feel God. They will never experience God. Whereas if you approach God in a very personal way, He will definitely approach to you, or He will definitely reciprocate to you also in a very personal way. So what I mean to say is that calling God or changing His name is a very practical thing, if you do it properly. It's a means, but at the same time it's the end. Because ultimately all we need is God. Sometimes we have the tendency to use God as the means to achieve our ends. Sometimes we feel or we know, I need this and that and this and that, you know, I need to pass the exam or whatever. And we approach God and say, please help us to pass the exam. And sometimes He helps, sometimes He doesn't. Because He's not obliged. But ultimately, when we approach God in this way, we say to God that there is something important than you. We say to God that exam for me is actually more important than you. Because you are the means for me to achieve my end. And my end is more important for me, the exam or whatever. But the main point to understand which Krishna gives here, Ananya Chintayantamam Yajanak Pariyupasate, if somebody really understands that I am the higher goal of every endeavor of living entity, and if you get me, you will get everything else. You will not need anything else. If you understand this, then you will approach Krishna properly. If you don't understand this, there will be some improper dealings with Him from your side. And because you are dealing with Him improperly, I'm sorry to say this, He will also deal with you improperly. He will also deal with you in some way which you may not like. Again, because you are using Him as upaya. He is not upaya. He is not the means. He is the goal. And changing of His name is also not upaya. In the beginning stages, it may be considered as upaya, as the means to achieve our goal. I remember very clearly when I started chanting the holy name, somebody told me just try to chant, you know. He didn't explain to me this philosophy. He didn't, you know, I hardly knew anything. You know, he said, just try it. It may work. I decided, why don't I try it? It may work. So I was doing some PhD work at that time in molecular biology, and I was doing my experiment. It was a difficult experiment. Usually, I mean, it was a headache. You know, I was doing this, you know, you had to do electrophoresis in a very precise way, and before that, it was long. You know, for 2 weeks, you were doing. Ultimately, you were doing electrophoresis. After 24 hours, you put some, you know, film, and some, you know, and you get the film, and nothing is there. You know, just and then you have to start all over again. You know, from the very beginning, you take little poor rats, you kill the rats, get their liver, and you know, it's horrible thing. Anyway, so I was doing this, and many times I repeated this without any result. Ultimately, I thought, you know, why don't I, you know, try with this? Maybe it will work. So I started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I put the electrophoresis. You know, it was night. I very clearly remember still, it was dark night, you know, the electrophoresis was going. And, you know, after many months without any success, I was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Many hours, you know. And I saw that simultaneously two experiments are going on. One was changing of the holy name, another one was the electrophoresis. So lo and behold, this was the only experiment which was successful. None else. Nothing else worked. You know, this worked. It really created some faith in my heart. So there must be something to it, you know. My scientific guide,
he was so happy, you know, he was showing everyone, look, this is the best experience. Yeah. And I was smiling in a very mysterious way. I didn't tell him why it worked. But ultimately, what we have to understand is that we shouldn't use God as the means to achieve our end. Because God is the real goal. God is the ultimate goal. And there is no other goal. See, human civilization nowadays is very good at achieving particular goals. People are good at this. They have a God-given intelligence, and we are misusing this God-given intelligence by trying to set certain goals and achieving the goals. And why people reject God? Because, you know, they figure out how to do it without Him. So many things we learn to do, right? You know, so many things we achieve. There is no doubt about it. You know, it's very impressive. If you look, you know, from the perspective of 100 years back or 200 years back, all people achieved so much. They're flying, they're deep under the water, they're doing so many crazy things, you know. They have these computers which can do some things, you know. Amazing. But the point is that this whole thing, people don't know why they're doing. Recently I was in one meeting, in one assembly, and there were philosophers there and everyone else. And there was a big philosopher. He's the biggest philosopher in Russia. He's an academician, you know, he has all degrees, whatever. You know, he's the biggest. He is the editor-in-chief of the main philosophical magazine, scientific philosophical magazine. And he says, listen carefully what he says. He says, we have to admit that our civilization has no goal. We're good at achieving partial goals, but this civilization don't know what is it for. The ultimate goal is not there. It does not exist. People don't know, and because they don't know this, because they don't know the ultimate goal, all their goals which we're trying to achieve, and which they're achieving not without a success, is useless. Because they don't know what is it for. What is the ultimate, the end result, what do we need from this? And he says, we're the civilization of methods, of the processes. We're good at processes, but we don't know what is it for, what is the meaning. But the point is that, when we chant the holy name, it's a very good practical means for us to pass the exams. There's no doubt about it. But ultimately, it gives us the ultimate meaning in life. And by giving us the ultimate meaning in life, it is giving us everything which we need. Because the life without meaning is useless. Ultimately, what every human being needs, he needs the higher purpose, he needs the higher meaning, he needs something to live for. And if we don't have this, you know, no matter how much we achieve, it becomes totally, completely useless. I know so many people who achieve so much in their life, and they're not happy, because they don't know what is it for ultimately. They just bewildered. Sometimes people, they're climbing the staircase, but they don't know, you know, where they're climbing for. And ultimately, they climb the staircase, they are on the top, and there is nothing there. You know, I know some people who have become very rich. They were working hard, they were spending so many hours, you know, they were working 18 hours a day, you know, to become rich. They became rich, and they don't know what to do. They don't know what is it for. So, the ultimate thing which Krishna gives, and this is exactly the way how Prabhupada explains this purport, explains this verse. He says, yoga kshema vahamyaham. He gives yoga kshema in an ordinary sense. There is no doubt about it. He gives us all the requirements and gives us protection. You know, once in Delhi I saw, because I'm learning Sanskrit, I'm reading all this advertisement in
and Devanagari.
So I was reading something and I read Yoga Kshema Vaham Yaham. And it was an advertisement of one bank. We will give you yoga and kshema. Just invest in us. But Krishna says, yes, if you surrender unto me, I will protect you. I will give you what you require in this particular life. There is no doubt about it. But I will give you yoga and kshema in the ultimate sense. And this is no bank in this universe can give you. The banks in this universe, or whatever means which are there, they can give you some kind of temporary material protection or some kind of temporary material requirements. But Krishna says, I will give you ultimate protection. And I fulfill your ultimate requirement. You will feel ultimately fulfilled by having the connection with me. And you will feel ultimately protected by coming into connection with me. So the practical value of chanting is that we are reciprocating with God, who is personality, person. And while reciprocating with him, we are attracting his attention and we are getting his mercy. But we also have to understand what is ultimate mercy which he can give. Because he can give some little things. He says, what is this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam? Muktir dadati, I forgot this pritam. He says that I'm easily giving liberation to people. I can easily give, and if he gives liberation so easily, he can easily give material, you know, fulfillment or material prosperity if we ask him. That's simple things. He says, Karhichit Asmana Bhakti Yoga. But with bhakti, I'm very careful. Because this is the most precious. Because this is the most important. And only if we prove that we need him as a person, he will give bhakti. So while chanting, we have to remember that the ultimate means of chanting is to get the ultimate goal, is to achieve the ultimate goal, which is God himself. Which is the personal reciprocation with God himself. We have to see him, and we have to see his smile. And that will be the perfection of our life. If we see his smile in front of us. You know, when somebody smiles to us, it's nice. You know, if I say, Aravinda, he smiles. I'm very happy because he smiles. He's happy because I smile. But just imagine how happy you will become if you see the smile of Krishna. If you say Krishna, and Krishna smiles, oh, you will become very happy. Krishna smiles at you, and you smile at him. This is the perfection of life. And this is the ultimate practical value of chanting. So many practical results we can achieve, but we have to be also very clear that ultimately we need God. We need his love. We need to feel his love. Nothing else. You know. And if we feel his love, we're always happy. We feel always protected. And then we will achieve what we need, because we only need happiness. We don't need anything else. Everything else is just a means to get this ultimate happiness in life. So this is why we are chanting Hare Krishna. This is why we should stop our lecture now, because in few minutes there will be arati. I will ask to stop at that time. So thank you very much. Maybe there are some questions on this topic. Yes.
Krishna says that we should remember him, try to remember him always. Sometimes problems, big problems come in people's life which bewilder them. And for some time they forsake the shelter of Krishna. So
Well, see, people will try to bewilder us. This is a game. Especially if we're trying to do something spiritual, some other people will try to drag us down. Because they don't like. You know, if they drink, they like that others also drink. And if you don't drink, people will, you know, will be kind of, you know, they will try to seduce you and whatever. So that's true. People will try to bewilder you. That's a fact. But what you should do, basically, you should not let others to bewilder you. And for that, you have to be very firmly established within your heart, within your understanding. See, we are naturally dependent on others. That's the nature of the living entity. We're dependent on the opinion of others, especially those who are important in our life, seniors, people. We're dependent on their opinions, so on and so forth. But at the same time, there is inner truth within our heart. And when we read Bhagavad Gita, it reverberates. It's kind of, you know, there is some vibration from inside. We feel it through. So we should try to be established in the inner truth, or we should try to hear our heart as well. Because if we're overly dependent on the opinions of others, inevitably we will be bewildered and we will ultimately be, you know, lost. If we are not so strong and if this ability is not there, ultimately this ability is there in everyone's heart. Krishna is there in everyone's heart. And if you're sincere, he will guide you also in a very sincere way. But you may also get some protection from some people who are taking spiritual paths and doing some spiritual practices as well. But ultimately, again, we have to read the scriptures, and by reading scriptures we have also to apply it in our life and to see how it is true. And in this way, other people will not be able to bewilder us. Other people have the capacity to bewilder us only as long as we are not really established. I know very well, when I stopped eating meat and, you know, and in Russia it's a meat-eating culture. Here in India it's still kind of veg, non-veg, mixed. You know, like in a restaurant they sometimes write this, veg and non-veg. Whatever it means, I don't know what it means. So it's kind of mixed culture, so it may not be so bad. So I remember very well, when I was not established myself in this, so many people tried to convince me that I shouldn't do it. Some people would come to me with so many arguments that this is bad from the medical point of view, and you will become weak. And some other people would come with some other arguments, and people were trying to bewilder me. Amazingly, when it has become very clear without any doubt within my heart or within my consciousness that I don't need to eat this nonsense. Nobody tried anymore, you know. They stopped trying. They stopped trying to bewilder because they said it's useless, you know. He is a lost case. You know, there is no use of trying. I had one relative. He was a real demon. He was a meat eater, you know. He was a rather far away, but he, you know, he said, the day you will start again eating meat, come to me first. I will give you the best meat ever. I never came to him. But, you know, for some time they were trying to convince you. But after some time they just, you know, they just said, okay. It's hopeless. So, if your question is how to deal with this bewildering arguments of others, is that just try to be established as soon as possible yourself. And it's only possible
when you read Prabhupada's books.
If you read Prabhupada's books, everything becomes very clear to you. It's really clear. Prabhupada is very simple. And he drives the point in you very clear. You know, he makes it very clear. And he leaves no doubt. It's so simple. You are living Kaitiki, God is also living Kaitiki. What's with you? And the most important thing in your life is love. You need to be loved. And who can love you? Who is the best lover? It's Krishna. What's the big deal? Any other questions? So we should stop. Yes. How can we?
How can we smile?
Just smile to him. Be nice to him. Do something which he likes. Basically, you know, if you want to please him, you should do what he likes. And he, you know, he says what he likes from us. He likes when we are compassionate. The whole 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is explaining how to get Krishna's smile. Krishna says, such people are very dear to me. And he says, who is very dear to me? Adrashta Sarva Bhutanam. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when he starts explaining the qualities of a devotee, he starts with this very difficult statement. Adrashta Sarva Bhutanam. Somebody who is non-envious to all the living entities. Somebody who doesn't harbor bad feelings. And then he says, Maitri Karuna Evacha, who is very friendly. He kind of goes a little lower, one step lower. He says, the best way to please me is to see everyone in equal vision, that everyone is a living entity connected with me, my part and parcel. But then he says, Maitri Karuna Evacha. And this is the little step below. Maitri means be friendly. And Karuna Evacha means be compassionate. It means that, you know, if you cannot see everyone equally, you know, some people are really nasty, okay, don't deal with them. Deal with friendly people. Be friendly with others. That's also good. That's a good start. And then he says, after that, he says, Satatam Yogi. If somebody is really constantly trying to make the connection with me, Satatam Yogi, even if it's not very perfect, but he's still trying all the time to establish this connection. And, you know, Yajana Priya, they're very priya to me, they're very dear to me. So, there are so many ways. Just read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will understand what Krishna wants. Okay. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
jai.
Gaura Premanande.
Jai.